like an animal, talks like an animal, must be an animal. Come hear the animal, talking animal, talking animal. Talks like an animal, must be an animal. Come hear the animals, talking animals, talking animals.
Good morning. This is Talking Animals. I'm Duncan Strauss, sort of the Ted Cruz of Wednesday morning programming here. My guest today is Vicki Kilmer, who works with Best Friends Animal Society, which operates the nation's largest sanctuary for abused and abandoned animals, and considers itself the only national nonprofit animal welfare organization focused exclusively on ending the killing of dogs and cats in America. Along those lines, Best Friends has been organizing the No More Homeless Pets Conference annually since 2001, but for the first time, the conference will be held this year in Jacksonville, Florida, on October 10th through 13th. We'll find out all about that when we speak with Vicki presently. Later in today's show, we'll have a brief chat with Mary LaHaye, president and founder of Iowa Friends of Companion Animals, who will be rolling into town in the first part of October to deliver a presentation entitled Puppy Mills from Iowa to Florida, 3 different days in the first part of October. Meanwhile, I'd like to take a moment to remind you that WMS Fall Fun Drive starts next week. And I learned last night that I've been assigned a fundraising goal of $2,800. I don't know why I'm laughing. That's frightening. In 1 hour. So, yikes. So if you're a fan of Talking Animals, we ask you consider making an early pledge to support us today. One way to do that is donating via our tip jar on the Talking Animals page on WMNF.org. We have an array of exclusive thank you gifts that you can only get by supporting Talking Animals, ranging from insanely good tickets to see the Eagles at the Tampa Bay Times Forum for scoring at home, Section 101, Row B, seats 9 and 10. Check the seating chart, folks. Blow your mind. Copies of the amazing book, The Genius of Dogs, by Dr. Brian Hare, signed by Dr. Hare. And great tickets to see Anthony Jeselnik, a rising comic on his with his own show on Comedy Central, The Jeselnik Offensive, who will be performing at the Straz Center. So information about all our gifts and how to support Talking Animals and me can be found again at talkinganimals.net. All right, let's get on to our conversation with Vicki with a reminder that we invite you to join the conversation by calling 813-239-9663 or emailing us at dj@wmnf.org. Let's welcome Vicki Kilmer to Talking Animals. Good morning, Vicki.
Good morning, Duncan. Thank you so much for having us this morning on the show.
Thank you, and thanks for wading through our 17 announcements of various kinds right there. So, now, listen, in the earliest days of the show, well, many, many moons ago, I did interviews at different points with, I think, at least three of the Best Friends co-founders. But that, again, was a long, long time ago. So for those listening today who might not be all that familiar with the operation, maybe you could just sort of just give us the nickel tour of Best Friends Animal Society in 2013, what it is and what it does.
I sure will. Next year, we will actually be celebrating our 30th anniversary. So Best Friends has been going on for a while. We do, as you mentioned in your intro, operate the nation's largest no-kill animal sanctuary out in Utah, Kanab, Utah. And beyond our work there at the sanctuary, which really focuses on extreme medical and behavioral cases, we do have an extremely high adoption rate because of the training and the medical treatment that we provide there at the sanctuary. In addition to that, however, we manage programs across the country, both our own as well as working with our network, which is comprised of rescue organizations and shelters all across the country. Over 1,000 of them make up our network right now. And what Best Friends' role is with those partners is providing resources, which ranges everything from people to funding to collateral and educational materials that can help our organizations that share in our mission of no kill to be able to save more lives in their respective communities.
And another thing where people might have, if they otherwise hadn't heard of Best Friends previously, I'd say profile of the operation was kind of raised considerably when Best Friends took in some of the Michael Vick dogs. You want to just speak briefly about that experience?
Sure. Yeah, we've had three pretty visible and I would say pivotal things that did, as you said, raise our profile. One was we served as the lead organization for animal rescue during Katrina, and we're actually there for 9 months, first to arrive, last to leave. The second was the Michael Vick dogs, and we took not all, but the majority of the dogs that were retrieved from his dogfighting operations and brought them to the sanctuary. I personally was living in Utah at the time, working for Best Friends, and had the pleasure of meeting and spending time with the dogs. And many of them are in adoptive homes today.
Mm-hmm.
It's just amazing to see how resilient animals can be, and they definitely demonstrated that in spades.
For sure.
And then the third was our show Dogtown for mm-hmm. National Geographic.
Yeah.
And that was a great run of visibility and really kind of a firsthand experience for those who haven't had the opportunity to go out to the sanctuary to see what we really do there every day.
Sure. Well, so there's different ways that again people might know Best Friends, even without necessarily realizing they knew Best Friends, like, you know, again, from
exactly.
watching the TV show. So there are a couple of phrases, one that I've used and you've used, you know, that, you know, you see kind of routinely affixed to Best Friends, the one that we both have talked about, which is, you know, operates the largest sanctuary for abused and abandoned animals, which I think is pretty straightforward based on the sheer just staggering size of the joint. I mean, I think it's, 3,000 plus acres plus, I think you guys have access to or at least 30,000 more.
Well,
yeah.
That's right. Yeah. That's
yeah.
Right.
So I don't think anybody can lay claim to anything even remotely as large. Now, the other phrase that at least I don't remember in the earlier years is that it's the only national nonprofit animal welfare organization focused exclusively on ending the killing of dogs and cats in America's shelters. How do people, including people at other organizations, react to that phrase? I mean, is everybody comfortable with that? Is there ever any sort of pushback to that claim? Or that?
We haven't really received pushback, mm-hmm. to my knowledge. I think that what has kind of evolved in the animal welfare space over time, which I personally think is a positive thing, is that each organization really has kind of refined and honed its area of focus. So we're all chipping away at different kind of specializations within the vast area of need.
Sure, yeah.
And our, you know, our flagship has really always been our commitment to no kill. And working with organizations like Jacksonville, which I know we're going to get into here in a minute, but Jacksonville is just such a great case in point of a community that has really self-organized and sought support and assistance from Best Friends, but had that collaboration already going on locally to really make a significant strides mm-hmm. towards becoming no-kill.
Yeah. Well, so let me let folks know if this is Talking Animals. If you just tuned in, my guest is Vicki Kilmer of Best Friends Animal Society, which is bringing its No More Homeless Pets Conference to Jacksonville, Florida for the first time, October 10th through 13th. If you'd like to ask Vicki a question or offer a comment, please call 813-239-9663 or email dj@wmnf.org. And already, Vicki, by the way, some email or I wrote in, just wanted to say hi to a fellow Kilmer, Bob Kilmer. So I have no idea.
Bob Kilmer.
Yeah, I don't know if that's any relation other than just a Kilmer, but, you know, all you Kilmers have to stick together, I believe.
That's right.
So let's really talk about the No More Homeless Pets Conference. And maybe you can start by hitting a bit of history, you know, when it was launched and why it was launched, and we'll go from there.
Sure. Well, as you said, we've been holding the No More Homeless Pets Conference for several years now. It's actually become the largest animal welfare conference in the country that's dedicated to providing attendees with resources and information to help them in their respective communities lead the country to no kill. So that really is the focus of the conference, which we've seen pleasantly grow from year to year, and I'm really thrilled because I happen to be a Jacksonville, Florida resident, to be hosting the conference in Jacksonville this year. We've been having that held in Las Vegas for the last several years, and there's been a lot of interest from our supporters in bringing the conference to the East Coast, and Jacksonville seemed like the perfect place to do that because of our work in this community and our strong partnerships here. And so Jacksonville is the location this year, and I couldn't be more excited about it.
Yeah, I assume that I was trying to remember, because I think of the conference as strictly otherwise having been in Las Vegas, but I was trying to remember if it's been somewhere else prior to this year.
I think it may have been in the early years prior to me joining the organization, which dates back pre 2006.
Okay.
I think it was held elsewhere,
yeah,
but it's been in Las Vegas for the last several years. So this is a deliberate and noted departure, and in large part because of the feedback that we were getting from folks on the East Coast that, you know, really wanted to see us represented here as well.
Yeah, I imagine it enables certain people to attend who just maybe couldn't before, just on a geographic level, I would think.
Yes, and in fact, we've looked at that based on our registrations to date and have a record number of attendees that have registered from Florida, Georgia, and other parts of the Southeast. So I would have expected that, and it's completely playing out, which I think is great.
Yeah, no, it really is. But you've alluded a couple times to you know, sort of the why Jacksonville question, but maybe you could sort of elaborate a little bit more on specifically why there and Best Friends relationship and just sort of other aspects of what's going on in the animal welfare world in Jacksonville.
Sure, I would be happy to. We have two. I referenced our network partners earlier. We have a No More Homeless Pets network, and we have very strong partnerships through that network with two organizations here in Jacksonville, First Coast No More Homeless Pets and the Jacksonville Humane Society. And both of those organizations, as well as Best Friends, partner very, very closely with our animal control agency, which is Jacksonville Animal Care and Protective Services. And that partnership, that community collaboration, has absolutely been key to the success that we have seen just even over the last couple of years. In 2011, they were saving 58% of animals in the shelter just 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And I'm really excited to share that year to date, we are up to an 84% save rate. That's a tremendous improvement in just a 2 year time period.
Wow. All right. Well, I want to parallel track, talk, you know, more or develop a little bit more about Jacksonville and some of those results, and maybe we'll circle back to that. But first, let's just see who you think, you know, who should attend the conference. Obviously, a lot of people have already registered, as you've noted. But what sort of folks with what sort of specific interests have tended to turn up at past conferences, and would you expect either that already have registered or expect to register, or just the people who might be listening, who might be hearing about it for the first time and think, hey, well, now that you mention it, maybe I should think of getting over there myself.
Sure. We've really seen that evolve over time and really diversify. We have the nation's leaders in no-kill that are part of our conference. We have other major animal welfare organizations that have representatives both attend as well as on our speaker panels. And we have, you know, folks from small rescue organizations or just individuals who are passionate about animal welfare and volunteer when they can to help in the cause. So it really has run that gamut, and we're seeing that again with this year's registrants.
Yeah.
Especially in the individual realm. We really are seeing a lot more people that are just showing up, not as an organization, but as themselves, a concerned citizen that wants to make a difference in their own community and wants to, you know, learn and grow in what tools can help them make their community more effective towards a no-kill objective.
Well, and that's the thing. I mean, I guess maybe we can even talk about the tracks if we want to. But basically, there's full days of workshops. I just plucked out before we went on the air a few titles just to kind of give a sense of the kind of thing. So one is titled "What Want Big Results? Target Your Spay/Neuter Efforts." Another is "Beyond the Shelter: Assessing Your Community's No-Kill Potential." Yet another is "Making Every Dog Adoptable." And one that spoke to me, and I'm sure others, advocating for pit bull terriers. And that's just four out of, I don't know, 30 or 40 probably.
Right. Right. It's a very robust schedule. There's a lot of information provided at the conference, and we do it in concurrent track. That's the only way we'd be able to do it in a 3-day conference. But it does allow for, you know, for folks, attendees, to really pick their area that they're struggling with or that they have an interest in learning more about, for example, increasing adoptions, and being able to really focus on a topic or track that will offer insights from, you know, various speakers from different organizations throughout the country and share their successes and lessons learned.
Yeah, and the tracks, I mean, are basically set up, if you have a particular area of interest, the tracks, all the workshops over the days that follow that track would sort of develop and expand on that particular kind of area. But obviously people that go to these, at least at the ones I've been to, stay on their track. But then it's like, hey, this one really catches my eye, and it also is at 11 a.m., so I'm going to go to this one.
That always happens.
Yeah.
I don't know which to go to because I'd really love to hop over for this particular topic in another track. And certainly that occurs, and there is the liberty to do that. So it's really to help focus, as you said, interest areas. But attendees are welcome to go to any of the sessions they want. It's not you're not bound by a given track.
Yeah, and it's like a big buffet of workshops, basically.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
So again, this is Talking Animals. I'm Duncan Strauss. My guest is Vicki Kilmer of Best Friends Animal Society, which is holding its annual No More Homeless Pets Conference in Jacksonville, Florida, for the first time, October 10th. Through 13th. If you have any questions, like to join the conversation, call 813-239-9663 or email dj@wmnf.org. Really, already with some of the things that you've said, this has kind of been addressed. But so the really, I mean, in terms of, I guess, other than just a slight semantic difference, what sort of distinctions in your mind exist between No More Homeless Pets and No Kill?
Well, No More Homeless Pets is really a phrase to embody that desired outcome of actually reaching no kill as
mm-hmm.
a country.
Yeah.
We actually just last month unveiled our new call to action campaign, Save Them All, which is really our rallying cry that this is achievable, but it takes combined effort and energy, and it's really an invitation for everyone, not just rescue organizations, not just shelters, but the general public, to take action and be part of making that a reality, whether that's choosing adoption over purchasing a pet, influencing your friend to check out the local shelter when they're interested in adopting, encouraging and behaving spay neuter practices, and donating, whether that's to Best Friends or to your local animal rescue.
And yeah, because I mean, let's just dive into this, because I mean, one thing I'm routinely interested in sort of exploring on this show when we're even vaguely in the kind of territory we are today is sort of the philosophical divide about No More Homeless Pets or No Kill, whatever the term that's being used, that characterizes some communities, and maybe the conference again is going to seek to address that chasm. But for example, here in Hillsborough County, as in many other communities that I'm aware of, it's complicated and it is often very polarizing.
Yes, and it is. And you know, there's kind of two things at play there. It is complicated and polarizing, and the other divide in the mix, which we just received insight on from a study that we just got back from the field a couple of weeks ago, is the fact that the public is shockingly unaware of the magnitude of the issue. And I'll tell you specifically one of the findings from that was shocking to me, and that's that half of Americans think that 500 animals or less die each day in this country's shelters. That number is actually more than 9,000 animals
mm-hmm.
a day.
Yeah.
So there's just a really clear data point to demonstrate that, you know, this isn't just action. This is also education, because we've got a really big divide between the reality and the perception of the problem and the scale of the problem. So then you get to your point about it being complex and polarizing, and I'll, you know, jump back to a comment I made earlier about the critical nature of community collaboration And that's really just so key in moving the needle and really making a difference happen, because until that alignment can occur, it's really, really difficult to pull the resources together in a given community that are absolutely required to save more lives. And that's kind of the magic recipe that happened here in Jacksonville, and Best Friends has been so happy to be part of that and see the amazing progress here. And that's, as I said earlier, one of the main reasons we actually chose Jacksonville when we decided to bring it to the East Coast.
Yeah, well, let's that's where I thought we might circle back to Jacksonville and Rick Ducharme, who has been a guest on this show. And
excellent.
Yeah, and I should note too that Rick and I were having kind of this same kind of conversation. I noted then, as I've noted to you, that it's polarizing and complicated, and as a measure of, again, that philosophical divide that I alluded to, there was someone who is part of a group in this area who took great exception, obviously, is sort of on the, not a supporter of no kill. I guess that's probably the most charitable way to put it. And wrote like a nasty letter to me and copied Rick and copied the president of the board that runs this radio station.
Wow.
And basically tried to get me in trouble. Didn't really work. And I'm still actually announcing events for her group. And we don't exchange Christmas cards the way we once did. But I mean, it's just a perfect example of, because again, you know, to say anything other than it's polarizing, I think is complete folly. But maybe you could address a little bit for people who are just maybe coming to this today, didn't hear that conversation or some of the others, why it is polarizing. I mean, like, sure. In other words, like, who's kind of represents the other side, and why do those people and the woman who wrote the letter feel the way they do?
Right. It's, in my viewpoint, a lot of it is understanding and defining and the way that different people interpret what the term no-kill means. I recall back when Jacksonville, years and years ago, because I lived it, living in this community, first declared its intent to become a no-kill community, and that was prior to me working for Best Friends, and I used to hear rumblings about it in my work environment every day. There was so much concern, and the concern was coming from my fellow animal lovers, but the concerns were coming from a place of not really understanding what that meant, and a concern that meant that, you know, animals that were suffering would not be relieved of that suffering, which is not what we mean by no-kill.
Mm-hmm.
So I think a lot of it is, you know, that that often, you know, culprit of interpreting things differently, and I feel like we as an animal welfare movement have probably not done as great of a job as we need to, and this is actually something Best Friends is working on right now, in clearly defining what that means and kind of getting everyone on a level playing field as to what we actually do mean and what we don't when we talk about a no-kill objective.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of it really is that, you know, base level or consistent level of understanding, so folks are even on a level playing field about what they're discussing,
yeah,
or debating.
As part of that, because I think this is also where it gets, again, complicated and at least emotional, the whole feral/community cats element. Can you maybe speak to that a little bit? Because I saw that there's, of course, some workshops that are going to address that at the conference.
Yeah, I sure will. That's actually, going back to Jacksonville again,
yeah.
That's actually one of the first programs when we started the collaboration here with the city. That was one of the first programs that Best Friends funded. And here it's called Feral Freedom. And it's been such a great success in not only saving the lives of free-roaming cats in the community and stopping their continued breeding, but also in significantly saving taxpayer dollars for the city of Jacksonville. And it's now where the city's getting requests from all different areas of the country, really holding that up as a model and wanting to emulate it in their own community. So, but that is a very controversial program,
mm-hmm,
very controversial topic, as
yeah,
you alluded to.
Right.
And, you know, and I think it ties back in part to your larger question about no-kill and my answer being, you know, it really being an issue of understanding and defining what that means. But I think also inherent in that is the fear factor of what is this going to cost our community? what are we taking away from, you know, schools and other resources to fund this. So I think that, you know, one kind of comes in very closely behind the other.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at the facts of what we've done here in Jacksonville through this collaboration, it's actually saved money. It hasn't cost the city additional funding. It's actually saved money to implement. But you have to dig down into that detail to be informed, to really, you know, to really understand and allow yourself to be open enough to let the facts lead your opinion.
With that in mind, Vicki, maybe you could just briefly explain no kill, what that really means, especially relative to the 86% rate you mentioned kind of earlier in the conversation.
Sure.
Just because, again, I mean, part of, I think, what goes on in a lot of these kind of conversations and why they do get emotional or complicated or confusing for people sometimes is the semantics.
Yep.
have its own set of challenges, I think. So maybe you could just, like I say, briefly describe no kill, what that really means relative to the percentage you mentioned earlier.
Absolutely, and thank you for asking that. In its simplest terms, it's a goal. When we talk about a no-kill objective, it's that day that we're working with so many other organizations toward when a dog or cat would not have to lose its life in a shelter simply for the lack of finding a home. That's, in its simplest form, what that means. So that does not mean an animal is terminally ill and does not get put down.
Yeah.
But it does mean that we're working towards a day when no dog or cat should have to lose its life in a shelter environment simply because of lack of resources or time or fill in the blank to get that animal rehomed.
So that's where we then get into the kind of percentages, and then another phrase that comes up a lot then is the save rate.
Exactly.
So maybe you could hook those together for us.
Sure, and I'll do it in the context of the two statistics I used earlier,
yeah,
which were Jacksonville's save rate of 58% in 2011, and its 2013 year-to-date save rate climbing up to 84%. And what that really is a calculation of the animals with what are technically called live outcomes. So whether that's being adopted into a home, being returned to their owner, being transferred to a rescue organization who will then facilitate the adoption. All of those are live outcomes, and they're considered saves. And so what that percentage is really how many live outcomes are occurring out of the total shelter population. And we call them saves, and we love saves.
Yeah.
And typically, and this, of course, varies from community to community, but as kind of a general guidepost, 90% is really what communities that have made a commitment to become no-kill are. That's generally the guidepost that they're striving to hit, is that 90%. Now, again, you know, what that actual shelter population looks like in a given community, that might be 89%, it might be 92%, but as a general rule, that's what communities that have committed to become no-kill are striving to meet is that 90%. And the reason why that's used as a guidepost is, you know, we all know there are going to be absolutely valid euthanasia needs in every community, and that's generally assumed to make up about 10% of the shelter population.
Well, so then let me temporarily step into the guise of devil's advocate in light of that explanation, and then with Best Friends having just launched this initiative called Save Them All, does that itself, just that phrase, present its own sort of tricky implication?
It is tricky. I'll address that part first.
Okay.
It is tricky only in that we are often actually altering that to say together we can save them all, because that's what we've been talking about, mm-hmm, you know, so far this morning, whether that's
right
through sharing resources at the conference or partnering with other organizations or encouraging community collaboration. It's really all about together. And the reason I think it could be tricky, although it's so recently launched, you know, we don't have feedback on this yet.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're very careful to, as an organization, say, this is a collective, this is something we want everyone to become part of, because only through that are we going to make this happen. We are not standing up, you know, in an isolated fashion and saying Best Friends is going to save them all. That's an impossibility.
Yeah.
That can only be done through organizations working together, people in the community working together, and even individuals saying, what can I do? How can I make a difference towards this? And so that's why part of that initiative is actually outlining ways that people can help make a difference in their own communities, regardless of, you know, what their profession is every day. You don't have to work for an animal welfare organization to help make a difference in this cause and in this plight of more than 9,000 animals dying every day in our country's shelters.
Yeah. So it really is presented as a very sort of idealistic, lofty objective, because again, even at the best, as you've explained before, of no kill, no more homeless pets, whatever phrase we might want to use, that would get up to 90%. And as great as Jacksonville has done just in those couple of years, you know, you're in your 80s. But I mean, the best anybody shoots for is 90% save.
And it gets more difficult. Like, the higher that number gets,
yeah,
the
it gets harder to go up.
Are.
Sure,
so
right.
It does become that, like, kind of last stretch is a really difficult stretch.
Yeah.
But I did, you know, to your point of kind of idealism, I think that's my word, not yours. But, you know, when we launched this, we certainly realized that, you know, folks may think, wow, that's such a lofty goal. That seems impossible, especially now that I understand it's actually 9,000 dying a day and not less than 500. And so we've talked a lot about that. But the other really important point to bring to the table when talking about that reality is the fact that over the last few decades, we've seen that number nationally go from 17 million animals dying in shelters a year down to 4 million. And that's, while 4 million we feel is still way, way, way too many,
Yeah. That's
incredible progress. And
for
it
sure.
shows that, it shows the difference that the introduction of things like low-cost and no-cost spay-neuter programs, all of the adoption events that we've seen and that we've been really active with here in Jacksonville, that really takes the animals out of the shelter and puts them in visible and fun event-like, festival-like environments where people actually are more inclined to go when they're looking for a pet. So the introduction of those kind of things, really all across the animal welfare space over the last few decades, has made a significant difference in that reality from 17 million to 4 million. So we have the demonstrated success that these things work.
Yeah.
It's really continuing to introduce them into communities, encouraging that collaboration, and really being, we see much of our role as Best Friends as being that conduit for information sharing, so that communities that have had great success have a forum, which our conference is a key one of those things annually, to be able to share those best practices with others. And kind of, you know, what was your secret sauce? We'd love to try that in our community. Could you talk with us and share your best practices and what challenges you ran into and how mm-hmm. you overcame them.
Sure.
So that's very much, you know, outside of the tracks and the kind of more structured part of the conference that we've talked about, what we always hear from people is the value of the networking that occurs more informally, although we do have some formal networking components of the conference. It's that informal networking and the relationships that people form and keep through those conferences that has proven really, really powerful over the years that we've been doing it.
Very cool. Well, we have probably, you know, less than a minute at this point, Vicki, left, but let me get to at least one of the emails that have rolled in.
Says,
hi, great guest. We love the Best Friends organization. Will there be any Florida legislative members speaking at this conference? Is there anyone in Tallahassee doing anything to make the state working on more humane laws? Thank you for your great work.
Excellent question, and thank you. It's always great to hear from a Best Friends supporter. We actually have an animal advocacy session. I don't have the actual speaker name right in front of me, but there is an animal advocacy session called Speak Up to Save Lives. And that will definitely be a component of the conference. It's a big, as they mentioned, it's a big need and a major success factor. And you know, we're active as Best Friends in several different states with legislation that we know is required to really make a difference in a community's ability to save more lives. So I appreciate that question, and absolutely, you can see a full list of the speakers and topics at our conference website, if it's okay, Duncan.
Absolutely, yeah, I was just going to do the same, because we're just about out of time. Yeah,
sure, by all means. But advocacy is definitely there. Check it out for the full list at conference.bestfriends.org.
Great, conference.bestfriends.org, and also there's a great Facebook page that sort of was another way to sort of come at a lot of the
That's right, yeah. And I'm a Facebook user, so I actually tend to go to that forum for most of my conference information. But definitely encourage folks to check it out. We would love to have you at our conference, and all of the registration information can be found at that website address. But I did want to say the cost of the conference is a very modest.
We can't mention the cost. Sorry.
Oh, okay. I'm so sorry.
No problem. No.
I didn't realize.
Yeah, yeah.
Check it out. It's all the information is on the website.
Cool. All right. We've been speaking with Vicki Kilmer from Best Friends Animal Society. Again, No More Homeless Pets Conference is in Jacksonville, Florida, October 10th through 13th. And again, all the details, including the cost, is at conference.bestfriends.org. Thank you so much, Vicki, for joining us today on Talking Animals.
Thank you, Duncan. I appreciate the opportunity.
Cool. Thanks again. All right. In just a few minutes, we'll speak with Mary LaHaye about the presentation on puppy mills she's delivering locally in the first part of October. Right now, let's step into the Talking Animals Comedy Corner. Always looking for excuses to play Jim Gaffigan, but then I realized we don't need an excuse. So let's hear a portion of his piece on whales on today's Comedy Corner on Talking Animals.
I've been trying to swim a lot, you know. You always hear swimming's the best exercise, but have you seen how fat whales are? Whales, they're like swimming all the time. It's not working, whales. Not working. Whales always kind of sound depressed, don't they? Rejected by eHarmony. My Facebook friends forgot my birthday. Why am I so bad at hide and seek? Fish always find me. Wouldn't it be great if we found out whales were in complete denial about how huge they are? It's mostly water weight. A lot of water weight. Once after a show, someone came up to me and they're like, you know, whales aren't fat, they have a layer of blubber. And I thought calling myself Big Bone was a cop out. Blubber, that's like the opposite of muscle. It goes like muscular, tone, flabby, and then like a mile away is blubber. Fat made a noise, would be blubber. Damn you, Plankton, you don't even taste good. Plankton, that can't be that high in calories. That's got to be frustrating for some whales. All they eat is plankton. I only eat plankton. You know, the fish are like, and cupcakes. Just plankton sprinkled on pizza. It's mostly water weight.
All right. That was Jim Gaffigan with a portion of his piece on whales taken from his special Mr. Universe. All right, she's the president and founder of Iowa Friends of Companion Animals. Let's welcome Mary LaHaye to Talking Animals. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning, Duncan. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Well, I look forward to, in a moment, discussing the sort of very important presentation on a very important topic you'll be delivering in this area in about 2 weeks' time. But first, tell us at least just briefly about Iowa Friends of a Companion Animal.
Sure. We are a nonprofit in the state of Iowa. I started this organization when I learned that Iowa is number two in puppy mills in the nation, and I just couldn't accept that. So I started this organization, and we're working to raise awareness and to change our laws.
Cool. Well, so along those lines, tell us about the presentation that that you'll be giving in this area. Presentations,
right.
Well, three times. Same presentation three times, I guess, yeah.
Right. Some great opportunities. I'm looking forward to coming down to Florida to share with Floridians the connection between puppy mills here in the heartland of America and the pet stores in Florida and other states around the country. Because while the puppies are produced here in these inhumane conditions, the puppies are actually shipped and sold primarily. Florida is one of the top states for receiving these puppies and selling them to an unsuspecting public. So I'm trying to get the word out about this.
Sure. I think interesting, maybe even surprising to some people, connection in that regard between Iowa and Florida.
Yes, yes. We have currently approximately 230 USDA licensed large-scale commercial dog breeding facilities in our state, and they house approximately 20,000 adult dogs. And again, approximately 100,000 puppies are exported from Iowa every year. And a large number of those are coming down to Florida and are being sold through pet stores. I get calls almost weekly from people all around the country who've purchased puppies from a pet store or online, and the puppy is sick or has other problems, and they find out that it comes from a breeder in Iowa, and invariably we find out that it's one of these large-scale breeders. So it's a real consumer protection issue.
Mm-hmm. And you must have been at least somewhat gratified to see recently that the USDA has made that decision to sort of at least tighten up some of the aspects of online puppy mill operations.
Yes, it's a good step in the right direction. The problem is that the regulations that the USDA holds these breeders to are so inadequate. A great example is the cage size requirements. The largest size cage that they have to give any one dog is 6 inches longer than the dog. And that dog can live in that cage its entire life.
Mm.
And that is just not adequate. But yeah, That's the way the rules are.
Well, so once again, we see the need for improved legislation or tighter enforcement of that legislation to help our animal friends. So Mary, let me run down the three different locations, at least that I'm aware of, that you'll be giving this presentation. So Wednesday, October 9th at St. Petersburg College Veterinary Technology Center at 7 p.m. And then Thursday, October 10th at SPCA Largo in Largo. And that's also at 7 p.m. And then Saturday, October 12th at 2 p.m. at the Regency Park Branch Library, Newport Richey. So now, is there any? I was looking before we came on the air. I didn't see. I went to the website for Iowa Friends with Companion Animals. Is there anywhere where someone who's hearing this now and wanted to, you know, double check details about, you know, where and when on certain days they could find this information listed online, either Facebook or a website?
You know, I will get right on that this morning and put it on our Facebook page, Iowa Voters for Companion Animals. I'll put it on that Facebook page. And we'll get to work on putting it on our website.
Great. Yeah, because I think a lot of people would, we can't really get into the price of admission, but I think we can safely say it could not be more reasonable. So, again, people interested in puppy mills and what can be done about them and how to get involved to maybe help, again, tighten up some of that legislation or just otherwise help, you know, that will be presented at your talk. So, and there's three different opportunities to catch it. So no matter how busy people are, they can get over, I think, to one of those with any luck. So
I hope so. I'm looking forward to it.
Great, Mary. Well, thanks for your great work, and thanks for joining us today on Talking Animals.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Okay, bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
All right, I'm Duncan Strauss. Towards the end of the show, which we're near right now, we'll play Name That Animal Tune. The winner will receive a copy of David Kirby's amazing book, Death at SeaWorld, Shamu, and the Dark Side of Killer Whales in Captivity. We'll do that in a moment or two here on Talking Animals. Right now, let's quickly hit a few animal news and announcements items, including this coming Saturday, September 28th, there is a About Love a Mutt Gala going on in downtown St. Petersburg. And it's going to be at the Hotel Indigo in St. Petersburg, where there'll be the best dressed pooches in town, because that's where they're hosting this Love a Mutt Gala. And the dress code for, I guess, upwards of 300 humans, they're expecting, maybe casual, but their accompanying four-legged friends will be black and white optional. So anyway, that's 6 to 10 p.m. this Saturday, September 28th, Hotel Indigo. Find out more. That's all to benefit Pet Pal animal shelters. You can go to petpelanimalshelter.com to find out more about that. And then last week I mentioned there was three that I knew of big animal events happening on the weekend of October 19th to 20th. I said there's probably another one that I don't even know about. Sure enough, so let me run through them quickly. Tampa Bay Veg Fest, October 19th from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Speakers, films, vendors, food, so many other things. The speakers include Jane Velez Mitchell, Dr. Neil Bernard, Dr. Milton Mills, others, films include Vegucated, The Paw Project. Anyways, TampaBayVegFest.org for information on that. Then on Sunday, the 20th, among the things going on is the 13th Annual Stride for Strays. That's put on by our friends at Animal Coalition of Tampa and moved to Big, Big Digs, Raymond James Stadium this year. So, again, there'll be all kinds of cool vendors and music and a doggy fun zone and much more. So you can find out by going to strideforstrays.org, all the details for that. And then there's Dogtoberfest, also October 20th, from noon to 6 p.m., and that's at the shops at Wiregrass. And again, costume contest, pet adoptions, entertainment, and much more. So you can go to dogtoberfesttampa.org for further details about that. And then Dogma Pet Rescue, sort of in tandem, I think, or at least the proceeds benefit Dogma Pet Rescue, as well as Florida Pet Rescue and Second Chance Boxer Rescue, is doing the third annual charity dinner and fashion show called Fashion Feathers and Fur. So again, Sunday, October 20th at 6 p.m. at Keel and Curly Winery. And there'll be all kinds of adoptable dogs with a fashion show, live entertainment, hors d'oeuvres, silent and live auctions, and more. So find out more about that at fashionfeathersandfur.com. Wow. All right, so that's a busy, busy weekend. So I think probably I just wanted to be sure to get those in, and we're just going to have to come back to other stuff, I think, next week. So we have just about reached the end of today's edition of Talking Animals and on good old WNF Tampa. I'll be back next Wednesday, October 2nd, when my guest will be Claudine André, a Belgian conservationist who nearly 20 years ago founded Lola Ya Bonobo, a sanctuary for bonobos. Those are those amazing chimp-like primates that have sort of all the loving, peaceful, and very sexual-oriented conditions and counterparts to chimps. And anyways, this sanctuary is in the Democratic Republic of Congo. Hold the phone, though. I just realized we've skipped named that animal tune. I'm all nuts here. So anyways, we're going to do that quickly. And we're going to do Name That Animal Tune. Not a giveaway. Do not need to be a WNF member to win. There'll be a prize, a copy of David Kirby's great book, Death at SeaWorld, to the first person who calls in the correct title of this animal tune. 813-239-9663. It's Name That Animal Tune. I'm Talking Animals. All right, we'll take any guesses that come in probably off the air at this point. Anyway, so Claudine André, amazing woman with an amazing story. And again, she founded the Sanctuary for Bonobos in the Democratic Republic of Congo. So she will be on a brief trip to the States, wrapping up, I think, within a day or so of our opportunity to speak with her next week. But really looking forward to speaking with her. She's sort of this internationally revered figure. I hope you'll join us for that next Wednesday. Also, I hope you'll visit our website at talkinganimals.net. And once there, check out information about supporting Talking Animals in the Fall Fund Drive that begins next week. And, of course, all the fantastic array of thank you gifts we'll be offering and for supporting us in that fund drive. It's all found at talkinganimals.net, where we also make available all sorts of information as well as archives and podcasts of past Talking Animals programs. We also have a link to the Talking Animals Facebook page, our Twitter feed, and more. Please like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Again, all found at TalkingAnimals.net. I'm Duncan Strauss. Thanks very much for listening. Have a good week. Be kind to animals. Be kind to others. Be kind to yourself. We're closing out today's show with an animal song from Iron and Wine. This is Serpent Charmer from Iron and Wine, indeed, on WMNF Tampa, Brandon, Clearwater, Largo, Weeki Wachee, and beyond. Thanks for listening. Speak with you next week, next Wednesday, 9 a.m., Talking Animals. Thanks.
Ticket, you gotta lead in that last land of slaughter. Strange words.